Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality. While listening, you'll be exposed to inspiring, empowering, and unifying perspectives that I'm highly confident will yield stellar results in your life if you opt to try them on for size. Also, at optimistic.tv, we have officially begun releasing the first few episodes of our new late-night style, consciousness-elevating video variety talk show, Optimistic, which features live visionary art, soul share interviews, retreat guests here at the Mystic Manor, as well as live musical performances. I'm also super excited to announce that we are currently making plans to release the rest of season one on my personal favorite online streaming service. So stay tuned to optimistic.tv to follow the unfolding development of this exciting Optimistic expansion, as we'll be posting more info and release dates there soon. And in the meantime, be sure to check out, of course, the first few episodes at optimistic.tv as well. All right, all you positive heads, on this week's Soul Share episode, I'm very excited to have JB the Wizard here with me on the show. Like most good wizards, JB wears many magical hats. He has produced, directed, and acted in several major movies. And most importantly, he acts as a chiropractor for the soul for those he helps to shift their mindset to get unstuck and in alignment with their true selves. Hey there, JB. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, how you doing, Brandon? Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here, and I'm pumped too.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. It's as we record this, this will come out later, but as we record this, it is a magical day for me. It's my birthday. And as the listeners know, I just shared for the first time in several years my crazy synchronicity story around my birthday. So I thought, you know, I got up this morning. I'm like, oh, I have a soul share. I have an interview this morning with a wizard. How perfect, you know, and I've been watching this show. There's a new show called Cursed on Netflix that's all about Merlin. And I've had a bunch of like Merlin stuff come up and you know, some crazy things where people bring, oh, you knew Merlin. And it came up in a reading with someone. I'm like, yeah, haha, of course. And I was Cleopatra, right, in a past life. And then it came up a second time, like a month or so later from someone totally different. And I'm like, oh, that's really interesting, you know. So I've been watching all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is all about Merlin. Now I get to talk to a wizard today. It's my birthday. I mean, who knows where this day is going to go, right?
That's right.
So I like to start off with the with a very predictable opening and closing question, as the listeners know. And my opening question is this. You're in an elevator. The woman next to you looks over, says, what's your passion? You have 10 floors to answer. What do you say?
I love people, and I want to help them get unstuck. Done.
Done. And then she probably follows up with more questions on the next 9 floors.
That's right.
Perfect. Well, let's dive into that. Let's talk a little bit about getting unstuck. But before we go too deep down that rabbit hole, I always like to get a little context on who I'm talking to, give the listeners a little backstory. So, yeah, maybe you can just share what you feel is relevant to share about how we got here, how you got here.
Sure. So my degree is exercise physiology pre-med, and I love the body. I always wanted to figure out how it works, how it functions, what's happening when you're exercising or moving or walking, just what's going on the inside. When I was 9 years old growing up, I grew up a lot of different places around the world and in America. And I remember I was 9 years old and the sun was setting. It was in California, and I remember seeing the shadows of people. And at the time, I loved remote control cars a lot. I still love them.
They're cool.
They're so great. And I remember I had one that had a cord connected to it. And then I had another, the Bandit, that did not have a cord connected to it. And I remember seeing these people And I was wondering, you know, these people don't have a cable connected to them. How are they moving? Like, how do we move as people? How is this working? And yeah, that question just never stops, still never stops. I love it. And that brought me to you know, all the way to university, where I was wanting to figure out the same thing. How does the body work? How do cells work? How what is life and how does that work? And in my sophomore year, there was a film that was coming to town, if you like. This is on the East Coast now, in the States. And I knew I was going to be on television, again, since I was 9 or 10. I didn't know how. I didn't really worry about it, but I knew I was going to be on television someday. And my mom messaged me and said, there's a film that's auditioning right now. Maybe you want to be in it. So it was taking place in the 70s. At the time, I had a very big afro. And and they were looking for athletes. And I played basketball, football, and track in high school. And I went down to the audition. I'm not super tall, but I'm like 6'3", but 6'3", plus a 12-inch afro is like seven, you know, it's a pretty big.
Yeah, right. You know? 7'4".
Yeah, it's a pretty big presence. I walked in and I'm like, oh man, you know, it's not just for the hair. I want you to come back. So I was like, wow, okay. So I came back for another audition. And the wild thing that happened, just speaking of serendipity and what that means and what life is all about, is I was preparing for this basketball role. And so I was playing basketball the days coming up to it. And because I wanted to be ready for this audition. And the day before the audition, I went up for a layup, and maybe you can guess what happened next. I come down on some other guy's foot and I sprained my ankle so bad.
Wow.
Now, I've, you know, been playing sports my whole life, so I've sprained my ankle at least 15, 16 times. So this time, though, was the worst I had ever sprained it. And wow. I was laying on my back. I was playing with my father, and I was just looking up and I said, why did this happen now? Why now? Mm.
Yeah.
And I couldn't walk. I could barely even limp. You know, this is like not a walk it off type of a sprain. And the next day was the auditions. And my father said, and I said, we're going to go down anyways. And so I couldn't walk. I you know, hopped to the car. And remember, this is a basketball audition. So how's this going to work, right? And we get down to the audition. And I was just like, I don't know why this happened. I don't know why this happened now. But this is not how this is going to stop. So this is very curious, because a lot of times people will ask me about flow, and they'll ask me about if it's meant to happen, then it'll happen, that sort of idea. And so when this sort of theoretical roadblock came up against me in this particular situation, I could have said, I guess I'm not supposed to. I guess I'm not supposed to go to this audition. I guess it wasn't for me. But I did not say that. And I said, this is not going to happen. So that's really what future, which we'll get into later, is about. It's about life design. And I knew that this was not going to happen this way. And so at this point, I'm limping, really badly hopping into the side locker room before the audition start. And I brought some athletic tape with me. And I started taping up my ankle, taping it up. And my degree is exercise physiology. So if there's any moment that this would be applicable, it's right now. You know,
right.
And so I, speaking of serendipity again, just it all works together. So I taped my ankle. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to get through this audition, but I need enough of whatever I need to get through this moment. As long as I get through it. And if they want to cut me, if they don't want me to be part of the movie, then that's on them. But I cannot let this decision happen on my end. And so
right.
I went out there. You understand? And I went out there. There were hundreds of people. They had numbers on the chest, you know, this big audition. And these guys were flying and dunking and all that stuff. And over the next couple of hours, it was the best basketball I had ever played in my life. I was hitting all of my shots. I was dribbling. I didn't even think about my ankle. Didn't even notice it. And near the end, I was still standing there. And they were telling all these other guys to go home. But I was still there. And I didn't know what had happened, but I was like, hmm. And the head guy came over and he said, you guys, there's about eight of us, you guys, you know, did really well. And that's it. So I didn't know what happened. So at that point, all of the things, some people would say it's adrenaline, whatever you want to call it. I think like an angel was like holding my foot the whole time. At that time, we walk off and I said to my dad, Pops, I don't know what happened, but I gave everything. This was it. And yeah, So I went back to school. I was in biochemistry at the time, and came out from the class. I didn't like the class at all. Side note, I always say that that professor wore his belt in a weird way, but the irony is I wear my belt a little bit like he wore it. But I came out, and on my phone, there was a message, and it said, come down on Monday for hair and makeup. And I was like, wow. What? Because you can't get more Hollywood than that. Come down for hair and makeup, right? So I was like, this is amazing. Right. You know what I mean? So the movie ended up being a film called Radio with Cuba Gooding Jr., Ed Harris, and Alfred Woodard. And, you know, I did that. And from there, I got an agent. And then I started to do theater. And the reason I started to do theater is because film actors and television actors, you know, they had comments about theater actors, and theater actors said, like, they're better than film actors. So I said, I'll make my own decision. I want to know what it's all about. So I did theater, and I got cast as the lead. My first time auditioning for this as the lead in four different shows. Now, I had never memorized the line. I never performed on stage. Didn't know anything about anything. But I knew that I wanted the experience. I wanted to do it. So I did it, and it went remarkable. From there, I got an agent, did some other international auditions, and I knew I wanted to direct as well. So I went out to Oklahoma at the time, and I was looking for directors. And I found the director of the Children of the Corn and one of the producers of the Godfather trilogy. And so I went to where they were, and I knocked on the door. And again, I didn't know anything about anything. This is like my key ingredient, my secret. Kind of is being completely ignorant. I think that has been very helpful for me.
I can relate to that.
Like, if you don't know, then like you can just operate from a more authentic spot, I think. And so I said to them, hey, I want to learn from you. And they and this is a university, they're teaching at this university. And I said, I want to learn from you. And he said, okay, come back tomorrow and you can shadow my class. And I went to his class, and then, you know, the Gray Fredrickson, he's one of the producers of Godfather Trilogy's class. And I asked such good questions, is what the feedback was, that the other students started to wonder, who is this guy? Okay. So then they all connected with me, and they wanted me to be in their films. So then I was in their films, and that continued to where I directed and produced a very short film called Scott and Ozzy, which then, you know, went on television for a bit and went brought that to festivals. And that ended up bringing me to directing other projects and commercials for companies. And then Transamerica, the Fortune 500 company, saw some of my work and wanted me to film the innovation films for them around North America.
Cool.
So the way this all connects is that as an actor, a lot of people think that acting is pretending. But acting is not pretending. Acting is being authentic. It's being present.
Right.
It's being honest, right? It's being in this moment right now. And so that being a very key aspect to performing, that's something that as a director, that's what I had to do. That's what I had to create. So I had to help the CEOs and executives and everybody else I was interviewing during the innovation films across North America. I had to help them be present, to be in the moment, to be authentic so that they would be believable to their employees. And so that's what my work was as a director. And one day, this is the whole story. This is how we got to where we are now. One day I was driving up to Philly and I heard a quote by Warren Buffett, the billionaire. And he said, the number one skill to acquire in order to increase your career value by more than 50% is public speaking. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm very good at public speaking. I love it. And if it's the number one fear as well, there's a ton of people I could help. And if it's the number one skill to acquire to increase your career value, there's a ton of people whom I could help again. So when I was going up to do a commercial on marketing or something like that, I came back and I said, I want to help people with public speaking. And that's when I started to focus in on coaching individuals on that particular topic. And that connected me to the venture capitalist world, to attorneys, because there I ended up learning that, you know, court and the American process of I guess the legal structure is really not always about truth, but it's really about performance. And it's about
who can tell
a good story that's believable and that could convince the judge, sometimes based off of case law. I mean, there's, you know, it's not very cool, but at the same time, I thought if I could help the person who's actually in the correct position do better, how cool would that be? So I focused in on that. As I was working on the public speaking aspect of it, I kept coming back to the same point, which is authenticity and the core of the individual. You know, there are tips and tricks, but we got to get to the core of the individual. And I continued to talk about the core and then alignment. Well, there were entrepreneurs that started to connect with me and people that says, you just look so positive and authentic. I wanted to be that. So I was like, okay, wow. So then I started to lead with, instead of teach people how to public speak, I was like, how to be authentic and in alignment. And then people were saying, I just want to get in alignment. That's what I want. And then CEOs started connecting with me and salespeople who were doing, you know, large volumes, like 100 million per year. And then started connecting with some celebrities. And, you know, the thing that happened with all of this, there was just one thing. And the core of it is the authenticity, which comes back to alignment. And so that journey brought me exactly to where I am now. And the reason I focus on CEOs and celebrities, I do work with other entrepreneurs and whatever, but the common thing about CEOs and celebrities is they are people who tend to feel alone. They tend to feel misunderstood. They are most likely misunderstood, but they're at the top of their game and they want to continue to be the best they could possibly be. And that is what a CEO and what a celebrity is. CEO is just that in the business world, and a celebrity is just that in what I call the civilian world, the non-creative world, let's say. But it's really the same type of person. So when it comes to salespeople that really tend to engage with me, they also want to continue to improve. It is a very, I guess, lucrative position because it's a really move the needle type of spot to be. So they tend to connect in order to increase their sales. And the outcome that happens is once people get in alignment, you know, one of the biggest quotes, even how I got the name The Wizard, is the Nike athlete, Grammy and Emmy Award winner, Charlie Rocket. We were doing a session over the phone. That's how I work. That's how I engage with people. And he said, what is going on? You know, he was already on the front cover of Runner's World magazine. He already was a Nike athlete. He was already doing pretty well. But there were things that still needed to get unlocked. And he said, what is going on? I feel like you're just a wizard who lives in the side of a mountain. And you jump out to talk to me. Everything's getting unlocked. And we didn't even talk about business. We just talked about me. And so he said, I'm going to delete my name from your name from my phone. And I'm just going to replace it with The Wizard. And from that day on, I went by The Wizard, and it was like the most clear, unclear way to explain what it is that I do when I work with somebody. So that's where the name came from. And that's how we got to where we are now.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite the journey. And, you know, a couple of things come up that in what you just said there, a cool little synchronicity. We just got a new sponsor recently called Curable. That is an app that is basically, their whole premise is, showing that the brain basically plays a lot bigger part in the process of dealing with pain than we initially thought. And you can retrain the brain to process pain differently and reduce symptoms, gain more control, et cetera, which is exactly what it sounds like you did with, you know, that audition. Right. And so, you know, and then the other thing that comes up is, my brother will share stuff. We own, a company together, a travel company. He sends, and I'm in a group with him, and he just sent over something, you know, Bill Gates, who I know people are a huge fan of right now, you know, but it was Bill Gates, like an article. I haven't even looked at it yet, but he just sent it. And so it's funny. It's on my screen. It's like, you know, sales is basically the most powerful attribute in the world, you know? And so, you know, understanding that comes back to, you know, how you present yourself and how you make your case and how, you know, public speaking, it's all tied in. Right. And I think these things are important to everyone, whether or not that's like, oh, that's my living as I, you know, have a sales job. Right. Sure. Some people there it is, but it comes into everything that we do. Right. Yeah. It's sort of that ability to convince and sort of get people to see things through the lens that you're seeing it through. And I think what you touched on is the most important element to that. Having actually been career in sales with, you know, I've kind of walked in both these worlds from having, you know, this show and another new show that's a late night style, you know, TV, more video production. And then also being, you know, serial entrepreneur with an Inc. 500 company and, you know, hundreds of employees. So I've walked both those, you know, I definitely am in your lane as far as the people that you typically would work with, I think, and as far as how I'm wired. And, you know, what I found through all of the years of, especially on the business side of thing, with you know, sales related in business stuff, is the more authentic I get, the more authentic I got. You know, I started out in the early years like, oh, learning bad, you know, habits from people around me, people who are maybe not, bending the truth and all those things. And it's like, I've just gotten to where the only thing that makes sense is how authentic and real can I be? Because energetically, that is reverberating in everything that you do. Whether someone picks up on it, you know, from verbal cues, or it's just felt energetically, it is impacting everything to do with the results that you get. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, I know you're big on alignment and, you know, how, you know, helping people to get unstuck and align with their true selves. I'd love to hear you talk a bit about that.
Yeah, so the book that we just finished is called The Five Principles of Alignment.
Cool.
There are, it's there are basic, you know, five principles. One of the ones that we talk about is the atomic core. So I created these concepts to better understand what all of this, you know, means, you know, in a very simple way. So the atomic core is just like a submarine. And a submarine is so cool because it doesn't have to come back and recharge, or it doesn't have to get another gas, you know, fill up like that. It's got this nuclear reactor for the most part on the inside that continues to react, and so it can stay out at sea for months and months and months. So you and everybody else, we have an atomic core. The thing with this atomic core is it's constantly burning. It's a fire. It's going. It's there. And what we need to do, and what I help people to do, is we take everything and plug it into that atomic core. Once we plug everything into the atomic core, any and everything that you do will be powered by that. And this is, you know, what Bill Gates or Warren Buffett talk about. You know, people say, do your passion. Do your passion. You know, Gordon Ramsay was talking about this the other day too. My son was taking one of his master classes. Do your passion. That's what it's all about. And that's beautiful. And I love it. And that's 100% true. That's what I'm certainly all about. The issue and the problem is that people do not know what their passion is. It's very, very hard. It's so hard to find your passion. And especially the better you are at things, the harder it is. If you're good at sports, if you're good at music, if you're smart, if you're this, it's very tough. So if you happen to suck at everything, that's helpful sometimes because then you could more easily find the thing that you're pretty good at. But it's more than just being good at it, right? So once we get the atomic core with it, we stick to it. And so we'll get to what that means. But sticking to something, if it requires discipline, I certainly suggest to teach that, you know, you don't want that, because then the weakest link is your discipline. If we have to rely on your discipline to get there, then, you know, we may or may not get there. And so I don't like to rely on discipline. I like to rely on what you're actually powered by, which is that atomic core. Because then good day or bad day, you're going for it.
Right, right.
The next thing is bravery muscle. Bravery muscle is gigantic. I only work with people who have a big, you know, bravery muscle. So what's that mean? It's people who take action. It's somebody that it feels uncomfortable. You know, we talk about being comfortable in the uncomfortable. But the people who know, hey, yeah, I want to get to a new, let's say, income level. I want to get to a new position. I want to reach another level of happiness or fulfillment or purpose. I want to get to that next level. Okay, well, you're going to have to clearly do something that you have not yet done before, and that's going to be uncomfortable. And so if you've got a if you've got a bravery muscle, you'll be able to flex that and take action on that. The C is like this first part of the ABCs, which is fun. So atomic core, bravery muscle, and then the third thing is really super fun. It's something I created called the circadian schedule. this is a very, very big deal because it's like a circadian rhythm, and that every individual has their own circadian rhythm. We've all got our own flow to each aspect of the day in our lives. And what happens is we've got to discover what that is and then plug everything into the atomic core, use our bravery muscle, and then create our day according to our own circadian schedule. That way it's going to function. So what that means is like this. There's a time of day where, let's say, these interviews that I am more primed to do these interviews. So I'm going to figure out what time of day that is for myself, and that's when I'm going to schedule them. Like, just simply put, that's kind of how it works. It doesn't mean waking up at 6 is the best time to exercise and going to bed at 9. It doesn't mean that. It means we have to figure out who you are as a person and right. your own circadian schedule, and then make it work. And then you'll know what to do. So certainly for entrepreneurs, this is a challenge. Scheduling and what to do is a challenge. I'm actually writing an article on this now because they're creative, but they might not know what to do with their time. Or the end of the day comes and they don't feel like they've been super productive. There's a solution to that. I call it the 8 D's, but we'll get into that later probably. The next one is futuring. And that's, I created this word, concept, brand called futuring. And it's really living in the present with the future that you design. So futuring, that's what it really is. And it's not simply, sometimes people do like law of attraction or manifesting or, I was talking to David Meltzer one time and he thought it was astral projection. It's none of those things. It's just futuring, which means life design, creating what you want in the future and then living that right now.
Right.
Because, right. And getting tastes of that, because again, this idea of even having to be patient requires energy. It requires some form of discipline. And I want to remove anything that requires too much effort so that you could be naturally in the flow of what you're going after. Right. And that's going to be the best way to get to whatever level of success you want, whatever it is that you want to create in your life. So the final one is it's alignment. So the thing with alignment is tricky because alignment is a state of being. It's not just an arrival point, but this fifth aspect of it is in alignment. So what that means is that the objects, the things in your life are in alignment with you, right? So that means the clothes that you're wearing, the words that you're using, the furniture that you have, the food that you eat, the people that you interact with, the work that you're doing, all of these things must be in alignment with you. That is the best way, again, to make sure that you have an efficient life so that we don't have any snags when we're designing the life that you want to live. So that's a really big component of one of the five principles of alignment there. So that's that book. And we go into some of the details there. And that's what I help people with as well.
Cool. I love all of that. And I love how you said, patience requires energy in itself, because I think everyone can relate to that being sort of the biggest obstacle oftentimes with whatever you're wanting to create next in your life or manifest next in your life, is like that hurry up and wait sort of thing. And then, that can turn into losing faith and getting discouraged. And so I think it's brilliant to focus on, okay, what aspects of that future can I bring in now? And how do I sort of, what just popped into my head as a great example is, my sister as, when I, she's a few years older than me. And, as a small child, I remember we'd have snow days or whatever. And my sister's like, oh, we're going to play school, and I'm going to teach. And me and my brother were the students, And so she is literally playing the teacher that she went on to become, a teacher. And so she was bringing that energy to her life in the, 20 years earlier, 15, whatever it was, 15 years early. And so, You know, I think I always say almost every episode of the show, you know, the only Bible quote I ever make is, lest you become like a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And so bringing that childlike play to this, you know, what can I do today to, you know, play as the teacher that I intend to become, right?
Right, absolutely. To get a little bit wild with it, sometimes we use this concept. We can get into this, but time is very expensive and money is very cheap. It's a very, very big thing. We say a lot of money is very cheap. Time is very expensive. And at the same time, time, it does exist to some degree, but at the same time, we could think of it that it doesn't, or at least that it's cyclical. So what that would mean is that when your sister is doing that, she's doing that. So this is one of the ways, that I'm able to help people find their alignment so quickly, because it's you already know it. I'm just helping you to see what it is that you know and then flex your bravery muscle, right? And whatever you knew when you were 9 is what is the same truth when you're 40, because there's no real difference. We think things happen, but they don't. And so all we have to do is ask the right questions to get to that truth that you already know, and then just bring that to the now, because you've already had it the entire time. And what I notice a lot, what I say with everybody, is you're sitting on your pile of gold. You know, that's the exciting part, is I'm really just, this wizard is just, you know, mining for gold, and it's like in your own pocket. You know what I mean?
Yep. It's sitting on the back of a whale fishing for a minnow, oftentimes. I like to put it.
That's cool. Right? That's a cool image. Yeah, that's a good, I like that visual. That's fun.
Yeah, and I also love what you're saying, you know, time is, and I talk about this a lot, time is illusory. And that's not just some, you know, wizard hocus pocus. That is, you know, anyone who saw the movie Interstellar, where, you know, they're on that planet with the giant wave and they're trying to get off because every extra moment they're there, every minute is like 7 years on Earth. That's based off of real science. And I love the dance that, you know, science and spirituality are doing at this time, as we expand our awareness in perspectives on both, we're starting to see, like, it's, you know, I forget who it was. It's like that said, all magic is just science we don't understand yet. And it's amazing when you start realizing, hold on, time is an illusion. And, you know, you shoot me into outer space at light speed, bring me back a day later, I'm a day older and you've been dead 100 years. Science knows this, or, you know, maybe not 100 years, but, you know, something like that.
So
you start playing with this idea. Yes, I'm experiencing time linearly because as my spirit, you know, source, higher self, whatever you want to call it, set it up that way, because otherwise things fall apart as quickly as, you know, as they're created, in a sense. It's sort of like a gimmick or a tool that I believe spirit uses to experience. And once you start understanding, okay, your 5th birthday party is actually happening on another channel right now. You're just not tuned into that. Just like a radio tuner, right? You're tuned into different channels. Well, we're tuned into the moment in eternity where you and I are always having this conversation. And so it feels like it unfolded linearly based off of the vantage point and the ride we signed up for, if you will. But, I believe it's always happening. So if you then also, you know, take that into consideration with your future, it's already there. It's already happening. So how do you bring that energy? And source or higher self, I believe, is so infinite that there's many versions of you from this moment forward. So how you sort of navigate to which timeline you want to step into, I believe, is by doing exactly what you're talking about, bringing pieces of that, you know, the energetic cord, if you will, of that future version you wish most to step into by bringing it into the present, however creatively you can find to do that.
You know, and based on everything that you just now mentioned, that's one of the reasons that being present is the most powerful place you could possibly be.
It's a gift. The present is a gift, right?
It's a gift. All of your answers are there. So when you're authentic, when you're in alignment, when you're tuned in, if you like, all of your answers are there. All of your power is there. That is all that exists. And that situation and that example that matters to you, your vantage point, your perspective, the future didn't happen yet, and the past is no longer there. Right now is what you have. So So what can you do right now?
Yep. And all your power. It's why these books like The Power of Now or Be Here Now are so powerful, because it's bringing awareness. And, you know, they're just massive successes in an ocean of so many things out there, because it's striking a chord that, oh, the past isn't there. You can't show it to me. You know, the future never comes like we you know, imagine it. Or, you know, and by the way, if I notice I'm hung up in the past, I'm probably depressed. Or if I'm caught up in the future, I'm anxious, you know. And so, you know, you realizing the present is a present, is a gift, is every time you bring your awareness there, everything becomes more enlivened.
Absolutely.
Before we continue on with today's episode, I'd like to take a quick moment to tell you about our sponsor, Curable. Curable is an app that takes a different approach to helping people manage and alleviate their chronic pain. I know it's been hard to watch my own father, who I've always viewed as indestructible, become increasingly limited in his movements due to chronic knee pain, and having to deal with the frustration of not knowing how to treat it effectively. Fortunately, modern neuroscience is illuminating more and more how chronic pain develops and worsens. Studies show that the brain and central nervous system play a much more significant role in chronic pain than we once thought, and by retraining the brain to process pain differently, we can reduce symptoms and gain more control. So, if you're struggling with chronic pain, the Curable app can help you get your life back by guiding you through science-backed techniques designed to help you overcome fear of movement, symptoms, and never getting better. It also offers strategies that can help retrain your brain's response to pain and, in many cases, reduce the intensity and frequency of symptoms. Curable offers both a free and paid version of the app. If you use our link to sign up and get started with the free version, you'll get 50% off if you ever decide to upgrade to a subscription. Just go to getcurable.com/positivehead to set up your free account. That's spelled GETCURABLE.com/positivehead. So with your futuring, I mean, I sort of gave an example there of, you know, my sister just came to mind in teaching. And, you know, is there any sort of hacks or tools or, you know, tricks, if you will, that you've learned how to become more effective at doing it?
All of these things, the atomic core, the brain muscle circadian schedule, and the in alignment and then the process of futuring, these are all parts of creating that reality. And there's another thing that I'll get into now. Let me see if I can pull that up for you. It's something called the eight D's.
Okay, oh, you mentioned that,
So the eight D's are probably, to answer and to get to the answer to the question that you're asking, one of the best ways that I've discovered to ensure that you will have a successful day. So if you do these eight D's, the cool thing about this guarantee is that it guarantees it will be better than it would have been if you did not.
Guaranteed or your karma back.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll go into them now. They're called the eight D's. And what's so fun about this is that, you know, we have 2D, which is flat, 3D, which is three dimensions. And the 8D goes into the infinite, which is very, very powerful. And this type of audience would understand the power of the number eight and what that
infinity
means.
Right?
You know, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people don't, and they don't need to, but your listeners will. But for everybody that doesn't, you get it, you know, they'll see it out there like, hey, cool. I wonder why there has to be eight of them. Well, we know why.
So, right.
The D stand for the word development, even though it's cool to be dimension and it's going to that dimension, but they stand for the word development. So the eight ones are personal, spiritual, physical, financial, business, self, success, and legacy. And I'll go into those.
Cool.
Because we want to see, like you mentioned earlier, that this is not about just having a sales position. Everything is selling. Everything is public speaking.
Yep.
Children sell every moment of every day, right? And so And as a parent, you're selling, as anything you're selling, as a husband, wife, children, it doesn't matter. We're all selling. So, which is, like you mentioned, communicating our belief to another person, something that we believe will be beneficial or helpful to another person. We want to convince them or show them that it's true, if it's true, you know, and if we feel it's beneficial for them. So right. The eight things, we start with personal. So personal development, what this means, and this all plugs into the atomic core and then your circadian schedule, but this means intellectual learning or growth. So at some point of the day, we want you to address something intellectual, something where you're learning, something growth. And the cool thing to this is if you spend as little as 20 minutes in each of these areas, that's enough. Doesn't need to be more or less. 20 is a good number, 20 minutes. So something's intellectual learning. This could be learning about sewing, learning about parenting, learning about fishing, learning about planting, learning about business. Doesn't matter. Anything that's some form of growth that way. The next is spiritual development. This is something that connects to your soul. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist or Christian or Jew or Buddhist. It doesn't matter at all. Anything that connects you to the thing that you think is making you tick, whatever that is. So you could do lucid dreaming, you can meditate, you can pray, whatever. Talk to yourself, to your soul, your higher self, your brain. Anything that connects you to that aspect. So basically what we're looking for is some acknowledgement of what's outside of you. And again, this can be 20 minutes and it'll just give you, it's almost like saying, hey, like a check-in with whatever you think also is out there. Physical is the third. So we're looking for here is some sort of sweating, increased heart rate, using your muscles, going outside in nature, using your body. The reason is because this particular experience is a physical experience, and that's extremely important. We cannot just do spiritual things. The reason is because we are not just spiritual beings. And that I cannot emphasize that enough. We cannot just sit there, think, hope, wish, and that's it. That's the whole point of futuring, is we have to acknowledge the fact that we do have skin, bones, and muscles, even if we think we're in the matrix and we're plugged in, right? If we plug in, we're plugged in. So we want to acknowledge that aspect of ourselves. And by using it, we can get even higher. The whole reason that, let's say, our soul even came to this spot to engage and utilize this physical being that we have is to help it go higher. So what we want to do is acknowledge this physical aspect of ourselves and use it so that it can help everything else we want to do. The next thing is, and again, this is 20 minutes is fine, and financial development. What this means is thinking about long-term effective management. When I was in Kenya, you know, and the Maasai women would do beads, like a lot of bead work. So financial doesn't mean you need to have a 401k and all this kind of stuff and money in the stocks, blah, 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 savings. It doesn't mean that. It can mean that, or it doesn't have to mean that. Whatever it is that you technically acquire, it could be corn if you're a farmer, or if you're a Nordic farmer, or it could be fish, does not matter. What we want to do here is think about the long term of what we're doing and how we're managing what it is that we're accumulating so that it could serve us later on in the future. This is nothing to stress out about. It's something to think about because there are ideas when it is in your alignment that are going to be exciting. When it's not in your alignment, you will likely feel stress. Okay. So we want to acknowledge the financial development in your alignment. The next is business development. Very important here to understand. This means systems, creating the systems and checking them. So I have five children. There are systems that we have in place for the flow of our home. That's a business. So it could be how the laundry is done, how the beds are made, how the house is taken care of, how the yard is taken care of. This could come to your business as a podcaster, as a CEO, as a parent. It does not matter. As a college student, there are effective ways to run and operate things. And the reason we want these systems to be checked or created is so that you could focus on the area where you want to be. So the example of this is that the brain, you know, is not meant to hold information. It's a processing unit. So what we tend to do with some of the tools is that we write everything down just to get it out of our head because we need our brain to function as a processor, not an external hard drive, okay? So the systems do the same thing for our life. We need those systems to be up and running so that we can utilize our brain and creativity to create whatever it is that we need to create. So that's the business part. Again, 20 minutes checking in on this is all you need. So self-development here, this is the next one. This is games, something that energizes you, something that feels fun. So it could be you're playing Mahjong, we call it Sheshpesh in Israel, which is like backgammon. It could be reading a book, anything that you do this activity and you feel energized afterwards. This is extremely important that you do this 20 minutes or more. Again, the next one is success development. So this is a very fun one to me because there are 1, 2, 3 things, meaning 1, 2, or 3 things in a day that if you would accomplish at 1, 2, or 3 things, you would feel successful or good or like you got ahead of whatever that means to yourself. Just 1 to 3 things, not 10, not 5, not 12, 1 to 3. Everybody, you'll wake up, you'll have that thought. We have to find it, but there's something telling you what it is. That's what you want to, we want to accomplish that 1 to 3 thing and focus on it. For me today, I did. I had a list of like 5 different, I skateboard every day, skateboarding. I love skateboarding. I'm actually writing a book right now on skateboarding, which is really not just about skateboarding. It's about life. And cool. Yeah, and I was at the park this morning and I had, of course, like 5 or 29 things I wanted to accomplish. And and I accomplished basically one extremely difficult thing and I felt just unlocked. It felt great, right? That's why I do it, but that was it. That was the one thing. And you know what that 1 to 3 things is. So that's called success development for the day. The final thing is legacy. So what makes the world better when you're gone or even still while you're here, but when you are gone? So this is certainly an acknowledgement that you're not here forever. Better than that, it causes you to think more efficiently and more effectively about what you are doing here. You are here to make the world better. You are not just here for yourself, and you're not just here to just improve yourself. You came here to get to another level, and while doing it, let's improve the world. The real reason for that is there's really just one thing, one people, there's just one everything. So by paying attention to the world and to other people, you are actually still paying attention to yourself. But we're in this experience, we're going to call that legacy. And what makes the world better when you're not here, whatever not here means to you. So that those are the 8 D's.
Cool. And I love when this.
when you check off an item in each of these boxes in one day, you'll feel like you had a productive day and you'll feel good about yourself. Your rest is going to be better by the end of the day. You'll just feel that feeling of like, wow, I did it. So that's when you're in alignment. Again, it takes some time to get to this spot and a lot of work sometimes, which is fine. That's what we do. But when you're in alignment, these 8 D's, this becomes your work, period. Like this is your work. There's nothing really else outside of these things.
Right. Yeah. And I love how you said, you know, find a couple things to sort of tick off, you know, that will make you feel fulfilled and, you know, which, of course, you know, momentum creates more momentum as well, right? And I think a lot of times people get so overwhelmed thinking, you know, they've got to do everything at once. You know, they've got everything they ever want to do needs to be done by, you know, noon. And it can be overwhelming, you know, when you start looking at things from, you know, it's great to have the expanded view on your, you know, all the things that you want to accomplish and do. And then just, you know, coming into the now and saying, okay, what can I do now that will move the needle forward and also feel good to do? It's not like I'm forcing myself. And, you know, I think when you start always, for me, when I start exploring, you know, I have a never-ending list of to-dos. I use program called Trello. My Trello board never ends with things on it to do. And I just go through and say, okay, what feels most you know, a combination of time sensitivity and highest excitement, and just feels, you know, like is most in the flow for me in this moment. And I approach it that way. And it really helps to, you know, be productive and not feel like I'm, you know, swimming upstream at the same time.
Yeah, sure.
Well, cool, cool. This is such great stuff that you're sharing here. You know, one of the things that you said that I just wanted to ask you about again, because I had never heard anyone say it before. You said time is expensive and money is cheap.
Yes.
Can you expand on that, what that means for you?
Beautiful. Absolutely. So a lot of people that I engage with, there is some kind of a money block. No matter how much money they're doing and they want to get to another level, let's say, there is oftentimes a stigma or a misunderstanding of what money is. So money is energy, period. That's the end of the day.
Yep.
We're finished, right? Yep. So money is just energy.
Yep.
So what does that mean? So what's happening here, and what's so fun, good, and beautiful and powerful about money, is that money enables you theoretically to be omnipresent. It enables you to multiply yourself. So right now, you and I are talking. You and I are here right now talking. We are not someplace else talking. We can't really do that. We can only be here right now in this moment. That's what makes it very expensive. But what we could do is we could send $1 or $10 or $100 to China. We could send it to Japan. We could send it to Oregon. We could send these monies across the world, and they can do things for us while you and I are talking right now.
Mm.
That enables us to multiply ourselves. Well, a multiplied version is cheaper, but they're still very powerful. So right now, right, we've got the book. Well, the book makes it so that someone else could read what it is that I have to say, even when I'm not there, right?
Yep.
Well, that's why, even though there's another show I was on, this guy, Bradley, he was saying books should cost several hundred dollars because of how they actually change people's lives. But they don't, right? So the point is that's why books are cheaper, let's say, than it is to engage with the human being themselves, right? Yeah. We see that happening. So why? Because it's a reproduction. It's something that is multiplied so that the person doesn't have to say it. If they're selling 100 million books, they don't have to say it 100 million times. The book says it. So that's a reproduced form of that individual. And that's what makes time very expensive, because you cannot multiply it at this point till we activate that whenever we do. And then money, of course, can be multiplied. So whenever you can use money, you want to use it. You want this to be in your alignment, but we want to use money so that we don't use time. People misunderstand this all the time, and they think I could just repair that car myself. Yeah, you probably could. But you don't understand that it costs you billions of dollars. If you understood if you understood.
If you're Jeff Bezos, it costs you billions.
Right. You know, and that's the crazy thing, right? Because when it comes to alignment, we're talking about this on another show. This guy thought he wanted to be a billionaire. He had to figure out, do you really? Because a billionaire is just a type of a person. That's it. It's not really a quantifiable number that's read on a bank statement. It's really a type of person. The numbers are a reflection of that type of a human being. Millionaires, multimillionaires, same thing, six-figure person. These are types of people. And so that's why we see people, once they quote unquote hit these marks, why don't they stop? People who are not, I don't want to say on that level, but who are not in that people group don't understand it, because they're not built that way. But if you're built that way, it's what you do. It doesn't matter when you hit the $1 billion mark. It doesn't matter when you hit the month. It doesn't matter, because you
probably want it more.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's next? Great. Awesome. On to the next thing. Boom. Right. And so people in a different, let's say, strata say, oh, why don't they just stop? If I had that, then I would X. Well, that's probably a reason why you weren't given that tool, because you wouldn't use it appropriately. And we see this happen when the lottery, the famous lottery thing, right? Somebody wins the lottery and they end up worse than they were before. They lose it usually within 2 to 3 years, definitely within the... And what's happening there is, we call this a coast, but the container is not capable of handling that energy. So the container pops. And so when it comes to these money blocks, when it comes to increasing, if that's what needs to happen for your tool, for your time and core, in order to do your purpose in this world, we have to fix the container, because money is energy, and money is like acid or any other kind of energy. If the energy is too much, it will explode the vessel. And this is, again, what we see happen when it comes to lottery winners. This happens with, you know, professional sports athletes. This happens with people who get inheritance. Why does this happen? Because we haven't fixed the actual container to be able to handle that amount of energy.
Right, right. Yeah, it's, you know, and you talked about something really important there, you know, apparent cost versus actual cost is how I put it. I think of my dad really comes to mind because my mother, we always joke and say she's really bougie. You know, she wants the nicest thing. She's, you know, and then my dad is like the cheapest human ever made. And it's just like, and she's just like blown away by how cheap he will be about, you know, he'll take something like, you know, he broke his light on his car, turn signal by hitting something the other day. He spent hours and hours and hours out there, like trying to fix it and tape it. 'Cause he's kind of that type of person anyway, can fix anything. Right. So he's out there, but it, I mean, it's pretty bad when you know, he may be, you can only put so much lipstick on a pig, right? And he's putting tape, he's putting tape on this thing for hours. And it's like, okay, you know, actual cost or apparent cost versus actual cost. Maybe just go down and spend $15 at, you know, the local auto store. And that's, you know, a better move than spending all your precious time and you have something that doesn't look so great. So many people get caught up in that sort of short-sighted vision of cost, right? Yeah. And what does it really cost you in the end to do something? People do this a lot of times with fighting. You know, I learned this from an ex-business partner who had run a company that did $1 billion a year in sales. And anytime there was a lot of conflict that came up, you know, with an employee or whatever, he would always want to just settle and get it over with, because he was like, look, the actual cost can end up being so much greater if they cause you all sorts of grief and whatever. And it makes sense, you know, to really be looking at things instead of like, okay, I'm right in this and you're wrong. And, you know, therefore, you know, let's fight. And it's, you know, it can end up being, the actual cost can be much greater oftentimes than the apparent short-sighted look at it.
And the reason it's so easy to have that problem is because most of the time, the activities that we're doing, I don't like to use the word accumulate, but that we're exchanging, I don't even like to say exchanging time, but the value that we've created that we're receiving money for is not something that we enjoy doing. So what happens naturally and psychologically is that if you acquire, let's just say $10 by licking envelopes to mail, and you don't like licking the envelopes to mail, okay? So that $10 to you feels like what you don't like, okay? And now if you have to spend 10, 9, 8, even a dollar of that, you are subconsciously and psychologically telling yourself you have to do more of what you don't enjoy, what you hate. Mm. So that's going to prevent you from using the money that you've acquired to save you the time that's very expensive. And so that's one of the main reasons why it's so important to figure out what is it that we can do that's in your alignment, so that you can then use the money, so that you will actually use money instead of time. And it's a beautiful cycle that happens once we discover that alignment, and you do get unlocked psychologically, and you do feel better, and then your health improves, right? And then your relationships improve, and everything goes up. But that's how that's all connected.
Yeah. And, you know, I love what you just said is really interesting, that, hey, if you have to do a job that you hate, and then now you're going and spending the money that comes from that, you're instantly tying something sort of negative subconsciously to that money. And that is a slippery slope for a lot of people, because if you're trying to reverse that and get into doing work that you love more and, you know, and what have you, you know, what comes up for me is, you know, bringing that reality to awareness. Like as soon as you were saying, I was like, oh, wow, yeah, that's very perceptive, right? And we're getting into that subconscious stuff that controls so much of our reality that is confusing as to why we're not getting different results. And so, you know, to me, I think of that and it's like, okay, if I'm in that position right now, if I were in a position where I'm doing something I really hate, but I need to spend the money, understanding that, you know, everything in this reality is about contrast and you can't really appreciate, you know, the really great in life without something that you don't like, right? There's not up without down. We're in a world of duality, right? In 3D.
Sure.
And good, bad, you know, all those sorts of things, man, woman, all that.
Yeah,
yeah. So if you're in a phase right now where it is, I'm in a job that I don't like, and maybe I have subconsciously now attached money as a negative thing because it's attached to that job. Being aware of that and then saying, okay, I see this now, and I'm going to consciously, when I'm spending my money now, show appreciation and gratitude, knowing that it inevitably can shift and change because we're all wizards and we can magic up a whole new reality for ourselves that we are doing something for the money that we actually enjoy. You're as worthy to have that scenario as anyone ever has been or will be. And the key, the doorway to getting there is gratitude for where you're at. If you can appreciate the valley, if you can appreciate the darkness, then the light is brighter, right? And so I think if people can apply that, who are in a job that they don't like right now, and say, okay, I can see now what I've been doing subconsciously, and instead of continuing to do that, I'm going to actually bring a perspective that makes me appreciate this job that I don't like, which will actually be the launching pad for me to call in something that is more in line with a grateful state, right? And so, yeah, all that just kind of comes up for me as I heard your explanation.
Yeah, absolutely. And the wild thing along with that is that that's what requires the bravery muscle, okay? Because once we get that understanding, you know, one of the quotes I super don't like is knowledge is power. I haven't liked that quote for so many years because it's just not action. Mm. We have to do something with that knowledge or it's useless. And so, when it comes to this understanding and clarity, you must take action. And that's what the bravery muscle is for. And that's what it's all about. And so if we can do that, then we can begin to get out of that endless cycle and its loop. And the sad reality, and I had to learn this a lot, like over 14 years ago, is that you're not going to do it until it hurts bad enough. Mm. And that's the sucky thing. And I wish I could, you know, get people, you know, out of situations, but they're just not going to stop until it's worse, right? So if the pain is greater by staying with what you're doing than leaving, then you'll leave. But if you perceive the pain to be worse with you leaving, because what if this happens? What if that happens? Yeah, it'll probably all happen. Like, just accept that part. But if you perceive that pain to be worse than you staying at your job that you hate, you will stay wherever you are, relationships, job, location in the world, eating habits, it does not matter. You will continue to do it until the pain hurts enough. So people will hurt or eat, even though they know it's not good because knowledge is not power. And then all of a sudden, God forbid, somebody has a health issue. Well, all of a sudden they change.
Yep.
Why? Because the pain is more. So what I love to do, I don't want to say, we all like to avoid pain, right? So if we can help people to see that it's more painful to stay than it is to take that, to make that move, you could have tremendous growth. So again, for me this morning, this move out, listen, the older I get too, when you just hit that concrete, it just hurts so bad. And so, it hurts so bad. But this is crazy, but the pain of me not accomplishing that move is so much worse than me hitting the concrete. So what I did, I went for this move. It's like, oh man, and you know, I gotta flex the bravery muscle. I was just dealing with one of my daughters just the other day. And so it's like, you gotta flex the bravery muscle, we gotta do it. And I was going for it and didn't land it, boom, hit the concrete so hard. And I knew that I have to do it again immediately. You know, so that's just what has to happen, because no matter how many times I hit the concrete, no matter what happens, I broke a rib a couple of months ago, no matter what happens, those pains are nothing compared to if I did not accomplish what it is that I'm going for. And that's what we have to understand, because you're not going to make a move until it hurts enough. And if you could, if you can go with, I don't want to say this with your mind, but if you could future what life would be like and what you're supposed to be doing enough, with enough potency, you will take action. But you've got to understand what's actually at stake in order to take that action.
Yes, I love that. Very, very cool. Well, you know, one of the things that we love to always hear on the show is stories of synchronicity or serendipity or positive paranormal story. I imagine a wizard has something up those long sleeves to share that would be fun for story time.
A synchronicity. And one of the things for this part of the story, when it comes to synchronicities, and of course, everything that I say, I want you and all of the listeners to be able to apply. When you're in this state of alignment thing, it's literally like you don't know what your next step is going to be. But when you take that next step, what you need is exactly right there. And people view that sometimes as a risky choice or risky behavior. Okay. It's not a risk because it's in your alignment. What happens is they don't understand that all of the securities that they have in life that they're setting up, they're not, it's not even based off of truth. So it's a perceived security. So the reality is you are in a safer position by being in alignment and taking a step where you don't know what's coming next, as opposed to preparing for everything that's possible that could happen outside of your alignment, hoping it would work.
Yeah, right? The greatest risk is to risk nothing at all, right?
Nice. I like that. Yeah, and just to prepare for everything, I guess, is risky as well. Let's see. I think the big what story? I mean, the whole journey of where I am today is one of synchronicity. Just discovering deeper and deeper what I've been doing for 15 to 20 years throughout this journey has been the same thing, which has been helping people to get unlocked. And one of the things that I noticed for me, and I think this is what really helped me to tap into my own alignment, is when I noticed that it was all the same thing that I've been doing for all of these decades, that helped me to, let's say, double down on that power. So when I understood what acting was and directing was and coaching, and I did personal training with Miss America and always these top performers, what's going on? You know, and understanding and seeing that I was really dealing with the same person, the same people, same types of people doing the same thing for all of these years. And now just focusing only on that has been something that's been very freeing and open for me. So, I mean, that whole journey is one synchronous event. Oh, that's the best way to share that story, which comes back to me, that ultimate synchronicity is being in alignment. Because it's literally, this sounds so crazy, but it's a normal word around the house. You know, my kids are called, they call themselves Wizard Son or Wizard Junior Wizards, I think also. And we say often we wizarded that. And what that means is that we notice, or futured that, we say that a lot as well. We notice that when you're in this state of alignment, it's really a common phrase. People say that everything's happening for you, not against you.
Not to you, right?
Not to you. Yeah, not to you. It's for you. I think Tony Robbins talks a lot about that. I like him.
Yep.
positive guy. And, so what we see, you know, in our home is that there's a lot of things that end up getting wizarded because everything is a synchronous event, and it almost becomes as if that's commonplace.
Right.
Right. So you make a left instead of a right. This happens instead of that. This fell through, but that came through. And we start to notice that our synchronicity tales are just day-to-day events. And right. That will happen and does happen as you walk in alignment. And that's truly in real life, like in real life, that's the only way to live. And what we tend to notice is what other people perceive as backwards is really forward. And
right,
the more you accomplish those things, they say, oh wow, how did you write that book, or how did you accomplish this success? And then you tell it to them, and then they listen to you once you've accomplished that success. But really, the only way you've accomplished it is by doing everything backwards of how everyone else would do it. So it turns out being in alignment and having everything happening, what is it, for you, you know, and not just to you, and noticing this is commonplace, these synchronous events, is really, I would say, a result of your perception as opposed to a result of what's actually happening.
Right. Right. That's a one power, you know, talking about, you know, the power of now, the one power you have is how you perceive all the events that are happening. That's the ultimate power. And, ooh, you know, like and you can have the same two things happening to two people standing side by side who are in the, you know, identical, and one views it as, you know, a gift and the other views it as the worst thing that ever happened to them. Right.
I'm sure that I could just imagine comics on that, like Far Side type comics, you know, two guys standing next to each other, two people standing next to each other, and the same thing happens, like the rain is falling, you know, one guy goes like, oh gosh, it's raining again. And then one says, wow, yep, a bountiful harvest, you know?
Yep, exactly. That's exactly it. And that is the dance that I believe, I think you hit the nail on the head. That is the dance. That is the art of living, you know, the greatest and greatest version of our lives, of navigating to the greatest and greatest version of our lives, learning how to shift our perspectives to find the silver lining, understanding, you know, like a master does, that if something, you know, everything is happening, you know, they embrace, a master embraces whatever shows up because they realize it perfectly, always, the universe is always giving you exactly what you need to, you know, grow into the next greatest and greatest version of yourself. And so when you understand that and you're operating from that general premise, even if it's something that, you know, the medicine doesn't necessarily taste good, you know, it's you bring that awareness to it, and now you start actually moving in a direction that you get the benefit out of this, you know, maybe challenging, because it's easy when it's something, you know, that's you want and it isn't challenging. That's really easy to wrap our arms around. It's, you know, the things that are difficult and challenging, where it really takes the mastery of, you know, applying this perspective and navigating it with grace and true, authentic, you know, power.
And I like what you're saying with all of that, because, you know, if I were to think about other things that seem like synchronous events, it happens a lot when I work with clients where, you know, if I'm helping them to know what to do with their investments or what to do next, you know, it happens to be that I have experience in real estate because of X, or I've traveled to this country, or I speak this language, or all of these things that seemed completely random fit perfectly in with exactly, you know, let's say what I'm doing right now, right? Dealing with a particular client. So I think that's encouraging, because sometimes wherever you might find yourself, you can have this thought that feels like you've wasted time, which is a horrible thought and feeling. But as long as you understand and learn and are in the process of figuring out how to utilize that for someone else's good or for your own alignment, then you've taken that time and you're turning that into money. You're turning that into energy that multiplies your purpose. So I tend to see a lot of synchronicity happen with what seems like random things in my life, or random things that I happen to have learned about, or things that I know fit perfectly with something that helps another person.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been incredible, JB. This I know that the listeners are going to be interested in perhaps getting your new Five Principles of Alignment book, and, you know, just connecting with you in general. What's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, you can go to futurewiththewizard.com, futurewiththewizard.com. That's a great way to engage. There are a lot of things, this buttons to press to say, contact me, contact me, contact me on Telegram, right. Send a message. Lots of those are on
smoke
that
smoke signal.
Yeah, smoke signal, that's right. And then on Instagram, the wizard is real. The wizard is real. There's a cool link in the bio in Instagram at the wizard is real. And that link will take you to the course program where there's a course on featuring that we go through where there's live weekly calls with me. And that's it's what I do with my highest level clients, but in a group setting. So it's pretty powerful, and you're surrounded with other people who are wanting the same goals and outcome.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, my friend, for stopping by and magicking up this episode. I greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. And happy birthday. Happy birthday. I'm so happy that it happened to be on your birthday as well.
I'd like to say happy 3D incarnation anniversary because that's essentially what it is, right? We decided to dip our toes in 3D, and it's the day we came down. So I do have one final question, and thank you for that. I do have one final question for you, and it is this. In 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life according to JB the Wizard?
Sure, great question. The meaning of life is, it's a wild thing to say the word love, but I think Elon Musk said the same thing. The meaning of life is to help other people with the tools that you've been given naturally. If you can do that, you will feel fulfilled. You'll be given everything that you need in this world. It'll elevate your soul for the next world, and it will lift up everybody else here as well. It's really that's a really foundational thing. And the best way to do that is to locate your own, your alignment. It just helps you to do that the best. So I'd say that.
Yes. I love that answer. Yeah. I believe we all have a gift or a path that is unique to us, that no one is better suited for it than you are. And there's plenty of room for everyone to find that within themselves. And it starts with believing that is indeed the way things are set up. And, you know, Gandhi said, if you want to find yourself, lose yourself in the service of others. And ooh, I believe that holds and I believe that holds true because there are no others. And it's all you're always doing it to self, and it's an extension of you. And once you get that, you are on the path. And thank you for walking this path, this moment in eternity with me, JB. It has been such a pleasure. All of you out there listening, thank you for tuning in your beautiful brainwaves. Until next time, journey well. Love you so, so much. And if you're feeling the call to come for a week retreat style Mystic Manor immersion, remember to go now and book your time to speak with me directly about stepping into the optimistic vortex at calendly.com/talkwithbrandon while there are still spots left. Otherwise, I look forward to co-creating magic with you at the Mystic Manor.